Thunder Country KIIC. The Coach's Corner is brought to you by Community First Credit Union. The Coach's Corner is heard every Saturday from 9 until 10, or until Jason wraps it up, on KIIC, live from the lobby of the new Community First Credit Union in Albia at the intersection of Highway 34 and 5. The Coach's Corner takes a look at the world of sports with a special emphasis on local sports, including reports and interviews from coaches and players with our very own Jason Summers.
Yes, bitch, he's on all these.
Yo, dog, pull up your pants. Your underwear is showing.
And now live from Community First Credit Union at the intersection of 5 and 34, it's the Coach's Corner.
Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to this broadcast special. Remembering a giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick. This morning we bring you this live KIC broadcast special, a tribute to our good friend Harold Mick. As I look out over the beautiful historic and downtown square of Albia, Iowa, it's a bright sunshiny day here, but yet there's a cloud that hangs over our community this morning, and that's the loss of a legend here in this community, Harold Mick. Throughout the next hour, we're going to spend time looking back on the life that was, the impact he had on the community, and how deep it was. And there's no way in 1 hour's time that any one person or any one group of people in an hour can really get to the depth of the impact that Harold Mick had on this community and those who live here. And it's not just the past that Harold had touched, it's going to be the future. And the things that he has already put in place and the things that will come, that Harold Mick will leave a legacy that very, very few would ever have the type of impact that he has had on this community. The love he had for his family and for this community, what an impact. But over the next hour, we're going to spend time talking with the people who have felt that impact directly and have seen the hand that Harold has had on this community. So we ask you to stay along as we bring you this special broadcast, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Mick. Dave Paxson, editor and publisher, will be right back after this timeout.
The local merchants in our area, hometowns, and communities take pride in what they do. They're here for you. Be here for them. Shop and invest locally. It helps the local economy. Build a better future for us all.
Building for the future, all together, side by side. Hometown community spirit, hometown community pride.
People's State Bank, member FDIC. Hometown community spirit, hometown community pride.
Do you remember these?
Cracker Jack prize, stars in your eyes, ask Daddy for the keys.
These were the times when you could walk into a car dealership and it was family-owned and you were treated like family because that's the way it was. You were sold what fit your needs, nothing more, nothing less, because that's the way it was. You can still get that family-owned treatment from Dewey Motor Company, family-owned since 1952.
Welcome back to this broadcast special, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Mick. Joining me in the broadcast booth is the owner of the station, KIC, Joe Millage. Joe, you know, as we, both of us have had our lives touched by Harold Mick and his family, and as we were talking about putting together a special tribute, we talked about Harold being such an intimidating figure and the stature, and it wasn't necessarily something that Harold sought to do. But at 6'2" and the icon he has been in this community, you couldn't help but feel a little intimidated. We talked about him being a giant and wanting to do this broadcast. And Thursday morning, Thursday afternoon, we get the paper, and that's exactly the words that editor and publisher Dave Paxson had put in the paper.
When I met Harold in 2007, I went into a store, and we sat down, but I was scared to death of him at the time. And that perception changed quickly as I realized how soft of a heart this tall guy had. And you're exactly right. Dave wrote those exact words about how intimidating he can be.
Well, we have the editor and publisher, Dave Paxton, with us here in the KIC studio. Dave, in your article, you talked about him with his intimidation. I think that came from the stature, the respect that this man had in the community. And he was, as you said, pragmatic and practical. Mm-hmm. A man of few words. And once you got past that intimidation you felt, you realized the depth of love this man had for the people around him.
Harold and I got to become, I think, really good friends at the last few years of his life. And the one thing you never wanted to do, ever, was interrupt Harold and a customer. I never did. But, he was laser focused on his business and his customers. And if they were in the store, you walked in and you saw Harold with a customer, you pretty much turn around and go out. Because he was going to serve he was going to make that sale, he was going to close that sale, he was going to get the repair guy out, whatever it needed. And so I think that's and he'd give you the look. He might raise his eyes, and that was the signal to come back another day or in the afternoon. But his business knowledge and his skills as a businessman are, I don't think anybody other than maybe his sons and his close inner circle of friends will realize what a good careful businessman he was. And the thing that I think that I'll remember about Harold is, and that I'll use as a as I grow older, he was so careful with his speech. You would rarely ever hear him talk about politics or something that would in any way offend a customer or he was a man of bedrock principles. He really was. But he was not going to he wasn't going to compromise his business, and he wasn't going to compromise the boards that he served on. And he was I think he was really a man who listened carefully but was very, very careful with what he said. And I think I take that as almost a mentoring type thing that, and I'm in the business where I shoot off my mouth in print all the time. But there are times when I wrote the article about Harold, I kept thinking to myself, what would he not want me to say about him? And I was careful to do that.
He was so humble, and that's one of the things that stood out is that, the lack of words. He would very cautious with his words. You could tell that because he really wanted them to mean something, yet he didn't want to those words to pierce someone else by making him the subject of the conversation. And that humbleness, you put it as a pragmatic and practical businessman, and yet with the humbleness and being pragmatic and practical, those two things oftentimes think about with somebody who's progressive. But he had a great vision. He could see things, and he touched so many different areas of his life. He was pragmatic and practical, but a great visionary.
He was. He knew. I'd love to have his courage in business. I don't have that. That's not one of my gifts. But he knew when to.
Hold him and when to fold him.
When to hold him. When to fold him. He tried a lot of businesses, and I don't know the one. I mean, I'm sure he had some business failures, but he knew when to. He just had. He was very instinctive about knowing what needed to be done. And I think the building of the MIC Technology Center is probably that just sticks out in my mind as a guy who knew what the community needed at the time. And I think his involvement in People's State Bank is another one of those examples. He instinctively knew what we needed. And with the MIC Technology Center, I remember Dave Sextro talking to me and telling me that there were pressing needs. We needed a track, the theater, there was different things. Harold instinctively knew that what they needed was something that would bring the community back together that nobody could argue about. And the MIC Technology Center was that. And it allowed us to just take a big, deep breath as a community. And kind of rally around a thing that everybody could agree on, and in many ways, I think it saved. I mean, it lengthened Dave Sextro's term as superintendent. I think he would tell you that. And it just gave us a time to, you know, to sort things out. And I think we can forever be grateful for that gift.
Do you know much about, you talked about his business acumen, about the drive-in that he had down here where the car wash is now?
You know, I don't know a lot. We talked, when they came to Albie after the Marine Corps, after he got out of the Marines, that's another great, I mean, a great story that, As a guy who prides himself in being able to interview, it was hard to get much out of Harold. He was just very, he just really didn't want to brag it up or anything, but he was a guy, I think he was born to do business. And he and Gloria had an ice cream stand while he was stationed in North Carolina with the Marines. I mean, he was one of those guys that, I mean, if he was moving, he was doing business. And they came back and set up the restaurant here just down on... across from the car wash, or right in that area on Benton, and then they started a dry cleaning business. It was just, you know, just they would keep doing that, and then the third business they started was Mick Furniture.
And even you mentioned writing an article for the newspaper. I'll never forget the day I went into Mick Furniture, and he was so prideful of the ad that he placed in your paper. I believe it was September 11th a couple of years ago, and it had all of his brothers on there. Each one had served in a different branch of the armed services. I believe two of his brothers are still alive, one has already passed. But he was so proud of his family and their heritage with the armed services.
When I came to Albia, his brother's children went to school with my wife in Waverly. And B.E. Mick is another entrepreneur and a kind of a legendary retailer in Waverly. And so that was kind of we were able to connect on that level, too, early on. So, his Marine service was something that he never bragged about. He would never be one of these guys who would tell you he went up over the hill. He'd tell you that he served in Cherry Hill, North Carolina. You know, that's because that's where the Marines wanted him to be. But, man, he loved the Marines. He loved his country. And I remember the stories that we did on Todd Ratliff and his Afghanistan service and Tyler Vitko and the guys that served in the Guard and went overseas. Harold was so proud of those guys. And if you wanted to, you know, he's such a low-key guy, but if you wanted to make him mad, you say something against the... well, the Marines or service people or anything, and man, I'll tell you what, he'd flare.
Well, Dave, thank you so much for stopping by. A tremendous article, and this community is going to has felt the impact of his life, and will be greatly missed.
He will, and I think we need to look to Harold to see the future leaders. What, you know, what they can do. They don't need to be tap dancing on stage. Those people that work behind the scenes quietly and with their time and their service and their money, they make a huge difference. And Harold was one of those men.
Editor and publisher of the Albia newspaper, Dave Paxton. As we remember a giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Mick. We'll come right back on this special tribute. Don't go anywhere.
Bluff Creek Archery, your outdoor store, is hosting an indoor 3D league March 5th through April 13th. The cost for the 3D shoot is just $60. For more information, call Bluff Creek Archery at 641-932-2422. 932-2422. Get out and enjoy this indoor 3D league. It's a great time to sharpen your skills for the spring season. And the best part of this 3D league is when you shoot, your name will go into a drawing for a new bow. That's Bluff Creek Archery in Albia, where you go for all your archery hunting needs.
Spring is right around the corner, and so is the 2012 Ottumwa Home and Garden Show, presented by the Ottumwa Chamber of Commerce, KTVO, KLEE AM, and Tom FM. This year will feature a special appearance by Sasha Andre, the host of HGTV's Curb Appeal, brought to you by Carroll Lumber and Davis Homes. Free with your paid admission to the Home and Garden Show, you can enjoy a presentation by Sasha Andre in the Bridgeview Center Theater from 1 to 2 p.m. on Saturday, March 3rd, and from 2 to 4, Sasha will do a meet and greet and photos with the public. There will be limited seating with this presentation.
The
local merchants in our area hometowns and communities take pride in what they do. They're here for you. Be here for them. Shop and invest locally. It helps the local economy. Build a better future for us all.
Building for the future. All together, side by side. Hometown community spirit. Hometown community pride.
People's State Bank, member FDIC. Hometown community spirit. Hometown community pride.
Welcome back, everyone, to a special tribute to Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick. Joining me now in the broadcast booth is Kevin Kness. Kevin, the president of People's State Bank. Kevin, 25 years ago, this community was going through a really difficult financial time with the farm crisis, the loss of a bank, and Harold Mick came up, and it was a part of the building of People's State Bank, which is celebrating the 25th year here. But he understood the importance of a community bank, locally owned, with decisions being made locally, and that impact that it can have on a community.
He really did, Jason. 25 years ago, well, 1986, when People's National Bank closed, they did not have a buyer for the bank at that time, and Harold, along with Catherine Bay, spearheaded a group of locals to apply for a new bank charter at that time because they felt the importance to have another choice, if you will, for people to bank at locally, as you said, to have local decisions made and to really vest in the community, and that's what Harold was all about. But they took a huge risk at that time. It was very difficult time during the middle of the ag crisis. We were in a severe recession, and people were losing their farms or jobs. We just lost our largest employer during that time in Albia, so we were really we were on the deck. It was a very difficult time, but it takes people like Harold to see past that and to move forward, and that's exactly what he did.
Harold seemed to have a real passion for the underdog. You know, during different broadcasts, we'd be a kid that maybe didn't get in very often, and Harold would be sitting next to us, and he would teary-eyed up when they'd come on the court and get the play, or on the football field, they'd have some accomplishment. But he understood that that at that time, you know, we were the underdog, this community, and the importance of being there and celebrating and trying to bring the underdog up and become an overcomer.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's how he showed his leadership. He wasn't as vocal as maybe some people are, but he was had strong character and beliefs, and had a soft spot in his heart for this community. You know, he grew up in southern Iowa, so he felt for the people of this area. And he did so much for this community, and he's going to be very difficult to replace. We can't replace somebody like that.
And Kevin, you know, the financing side of things, I remember one of the things that touched my heart as a kid here growing up is that my wife and I were brand new married, had nothing, and we decided we were going to go in the mix to take a look. And I walked in, and he takes us through, and he had his pad of paper, and he's writing down all these things that we got our eye on, and we get to the end. We're getting ready to leave, and I said, "Well, thank you, Harold. You know, we're done." He said, "Well, you know, these items here that you got listed out, we can have this delivered on this day and this delivered on the next day." And I said, "Harold, we don't have any money." He says, "You will have." You know, he believed in people. He believed in the underdog, and I know that's part of the reason why he wanted to be a part of that building the bank, is because he wanted to make sure that those people who didn't have those opportunities would get those opportunities.
Again, exactly right. He feels like his mission was to help people, and it didn't matter if you had if you were the richest guy out there or the poorest guy out there. He was going to give you a chance to prove yourself, and he that's been his business philosophy from day one, I think. And I think that carried over a little bit to the banking side of things as well. We try to take care of our local people, if you will, and do what we can. And that's what Harold was all about also.
And I think that that's the legacy he's going to leave is in the impact he's made on guys like you and some of the younger guys have got to witness his walk. And I think that will be the real impact is to come in the future with all the leaders that he will probably has left his mark on that will carry that torch.
Well, I think so. And he was involved in so many different things, as you know. And the school was really at the top of his list, I think. And he touched a lot of lives, served on a lot of boards. And fortunately for a lot of us, we got to serve with him and learn from that. And hopefully we can carry that forward.
Kevin Kness, the president of People State Bank, they celebrated their 25th year, and of course, Harold had a great part in making sure that the bank became in existence and then they carried out for 25 years. Kevin, thank you so much for coming in this morning and being a part of this.
Thanks, Jason.
We're going to continue to bring you this broadcast special, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick. We're going to come back and talk with John Childall of Great Prairie AEA, the chief administrator, and we also have Kevin Krall that's going to be coming in and visiting with us about the impact that Harold has had on education, on the kids of this community. More to come when we continue to bring you this tribute to Harold Lee Mick. Don't go anywhere.
The Tharp Funeral Home in Albia has a tradition of serving families in Albia and the surrounding areas. Being locally owned and operated, I'm proud to say that my staff and I were born and raised in this community and are honored to be able to serve the people in our community at their time of need. Let us help you make an informed decision at any time. I'm Richard Tharp. Call Tharp Funeral Home at 932-3129.
This is Mal Sharpe for U.S. Cellular. Today I'm asking, do you remember your first breakup?
Oh, it was horrible.
Well, you know, breaking up can have an upside if you're breaking up with your wireless company and switching to U.S. Cellular. You get $100 credit when you activate any device, including the Android-powered Motorola Electrify.
Pretty sweet phone.
You also get up to $150 more when trading in a qualifying smartphone. That's a grand total of up to $250. You're not happy with your wireless company now.
What's the point of having a phone if you can't make calls? It's an expensive paperweight.
Okay.
Switch to U.S. Cellular. You'll get a $100 credit for activating any device, including the Android-powered Motorola Electrify, plus up to $150 more for trading in a qualifying smartphone. And be with the happiest customers in wireless.
New two-year agreement and $30 activation fee may apply. Other conditions apply. See store for details.
To learn more, visit uscellular.com.
Stop in today at Boyd Cellular, your local authorized agent of U.S. Cellular for more details. Boyd's has four locations to serve you. New Sharon, Grinnell, Newton, and Albia. If it's U.S. Cellular, it's Boyd Cellular.
Welcome back to this broadcast special, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, the life of Harold Lee Mick. And as I look over this beautiful, beautiful square, you can't help but be so thankful for the impact, the gift of the light that we've enjoyed, the life of Harold Mick and the impact it's had on this community. And while it's bright and sunny out there, there's still a haze over this community after the loss of truly a community icon, Harold Mick. Joining me in the broadcast booth now is Kevin Krall, the superintendent of the Albia Community School District. Kevin, I don't think there's any organization or any institution or group of people that's been any or impacted any more than our local students. The passion that Harold had towards education.
And there's no doubt, Jason. Harold Mick is a great supporter of the Albia Community School District and education in general. And, you know, he has helped so many students fulfill their dreams or reach their goals through the, of course, his scholarship program. But obviously his generosity to the district is unmatched.
You know, Harold is a patriot. You know, he loved this country. He served in the Marines and I was blessed to be a part of a conversation that Harold was having with one of his grandsons, Austin, who's my nephew, and he was talking about education, the importance of it. And I know you've had this, you've heard this story that why Harold was so passionate about education. But for our listeners out there, I'll give you my words, which is nowhere near the impact that Harold had when he explained it. But Harold, when he served in the Marines, during training, they had to take a test. And Harold and maybe a couple others had scored enough on that test that they moved on to North Point. But yet the others had to go and put the boots on and march. And he felt like that saved his life. That had that education, the time he had spent in college and his high school education had saved his life.
Yes, and Harold relayed that story to me as well. And I think that in and by itself made him value education so much because, you know, when he told me that story, he told me that story a couple times. The last time he told me that story, he kind of teared up because he knew that doing well on that test put him in a different direction, different avenue, and he appreciated that.
Well, you know, we just talked about with Kevin Kness about Harold had a real spirit about him about overcomers, and when I'd watched the athletes that participate in the sports, he really celebrated those kids that maybe were the guys last on the bench or the special needs kids, those type of people. He really had a soft spot for the underdog.
Oh yeah, Harold, a great supporter of our students and our athletes, and I just remember him coming up in the press box on Football Friday night, and he'd enjoy being up there and listening to the broadcast and seeing what had to happen to put on the broadcast, but enjoyed the view from the press box. And you know, he mentioned a lot of times that about the athletes that didn't get much of the limelight, he would point out to me and the folks up there how good a job they were doing. And there's no doubt he had a vision and an understanding that it takes everyone to be successful. And from the top dog all the way down to the last person on the bench, you know, he was a very team-oriented understanding the commitment to education involves everyone.
He would do these things often, you know, the things that Harold would do for the community, he would do them in secret. And there's many things that will never come out that Harold and Gloria had an impact on. But one of the things that, you know, you can look at right away, it's the Mix Center. And that came at a time, as Dave Paxton wrote in the paper, and that the community was really in a divisive mode where there was some strife between the closing of the schools and the building of the Mix Center, Technology Center, had a real ability to transcend maybe some of those wounds, those scars.
Exactly, Jason. That was my first year in the district. That was 14 years ago, and I can remember it like it was yesterday. As far as it was a tough time. The closing of La Villa and Melrose was a very sudden situation, and you know, I don't want to go back down the pros and cons of that decision, but the Mix Center, the Mix Technology Center, that building enabled things to continue and kind of, as Dave put it, the olive branch to try to bring everyone together. And that's Harold Mick, you know, a guy that was behind the scenes, wanted to be behind the scenes, but a guy that wanted everyone to come together and work together for the betterment of not only the community, the team, the district, whatever you want to say.
You know, Dave wrote in his article, and I really think it fits Harold. He's pragmatic and practical. And those always oftentimes don't go together with visionary. But that's exactly who he was. He's a pragmatic and practical visionary. He, you know, technology, look where it's come. That was the source of where he wanted to that at that point in time, that's where he wanted his money to go for the kids in his community. And the vision there, you know, you look at where technology and the importance of technology, it wasn't the same way it was when he built this building. It's been such an important part to have that vision then really speaks to how big of a mind he had.
That is a great point, Jason, because, you know, just think of the last 14 years, what has changed with the oncoming of technology. So there's no doubt that Harold, a very keen mind on what needs to happen. And at that point in time, you know, they talked about a lot of things. I think him and Dave Sexual talked about what would be the best thing. And they centered back on that technology. And of course, you know, within 14 years from now, now we have one-to-one initiatives. We have iPods, we have iPads, we have, you name it, Facebook, social media outlets. So Harold Mick understood 14 years ago the value of technology and where it was going.
He also understood the ability for a school and sports and how it can, a school district can really bind a community together. It was a place where you could build community pride. And when we had the issues with the lights at the football field and, you know, bleachers that were in really poor shape, that would be a place where the community could gather together and build community pride.
Exactly. And Harold donated to both those projects. He's donated to help us try to maintain the football field. I think he's donated money out of the Monroe County Sports Complex. Harold, you know, enjoyed sports, understood the concept of the team and how that can better everyone. But, you know, I just almost had to drag him out there to be recognized at times. He just did not like that. But he wanted to do something to improve the facilities and the football field. It was one of those projects.
That's a great point, Kevin, that he's given to so much and he's so humble, doesn't want his name out there. If his name was out for every project, it would be everywhere.
Exactly. I mean, I don't think people understand what Harold's done for this community. The school district, we understand, when you hand out scholarships to 35 kids on a daily basis, and I said, Harold, how do you pick 35 kids, you know, or 40 kids? And Harold basically said, you know, as long as they apply, they're going to get a scholarship.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought to myself, my Lord, you know, here's a guy that, you know, he could be pretty specific with his wants and his money and guide that toward the top 5 or 10. And he really had a soft spot, like you said, Jason, for those underdogs. And basically, when push came to shove, the end of the day, the bottom line is if they applied for the scholarship, they were going to get something.
It was honestly the awards banquet at the end of the year where they give out the scholarships. It's one of my favorite parts of the year because it's just overwhelming the amount of the love the community pours out. And Harold and Gloria would be there. Gloria would be there to hand those out, and she called them her kids.
Yeah, and you could tell when Gloria does that, you know, she hugs all the kids and, or, you know, a really strong handshake, and there's smiles everywhere. They know these kids, you know. They go to the activities and they get to understand and know these kids. And you know, Harold was one of those guys though. He didn't like to do that as far as being up center, and so Gloria took that over for her.
But he'd see him off sitting in the bleachers.
He was there,
and you could see his face beaming with happiness. And and I think that, you know, because of the death of that generosity, it breeds others to want to be that generous.
Well, we there's no doubt that we live in a very generous community. When you have functions like JDRF and cystic fibrosis and things of that nature, that people just donate and have a great time. I think they see people like Harold Mick, the Kings, these type of people step up to the plate, and everybody steps up to the plate. This is a very generous community. We're very fortunate to live in Albia and Monroe County.
We're talking with Kevin Krall, the superintendent of Albia Community Schools. And Kevin, as we continue to roll along here, and we're going to visit with John Sheldahl, the chief administrator of the Great Prairie AEA. His impact is going to he's going to greatly miss, but the impact that he leaves and the things that they're setting and progression are going to impact this community for generations.
Yeah, we talk a lot about, with our teachers, our staff, about what kind of legacy are you going to leave. You know, I'm ending my 24th year, and it goes fast. Your time spending with kids and educating kids. So we try to tell staff, you know, think about your legacy now. And, you know, Harold Mick's legacy is as about as solid as it can be. His legacy is going to be here for a very, very long time, and that's a tribute to him and his family.
Kevin Krall, the superintendent of Albion's Community Schools, thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll take a quick timeout, come back, and continue this special broadcast, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, the life of Harold Lee Mick.
Dr. Michael Colling Judge, Doctor of Chiropractic, is where you can go with neck, back, or muscular problems. Chiropractic medicine treats the source of the problems with manipulation and patient education. Dr. Judge has the experience to help you get back into a healthy way of life throughout treatment, education, and on your way to feeling new again. Dr. Michael Colling Judge is a proud sponsor of the Albia Athletics, working together for a healthier you.
Need some remodeling done inside your home? Call Buffington Remodeling in Oskaloosa. Buffington offers quality remodeling at reasonable prices. No job too small, no job too big. Terry Buffington will be happy to come to your home or business and give you a free estimate. His work is guaranteed to your satisfaction. If you're thinking of remodeling and need some suggestions, Terry can help. Also text A283 to 3600 for the VIP Club for special deals. Buffington Remodeling, 641-295-7029.
You've already had one accident. Don't have another by not choosing Copeland Auto Body to take care of your needs and your car's needs. For collision repair, car detailing, windshield installation, wheel alignment, frame straightening, 24-hour towing, new tires, accessory installation, or loaner cars, choose Copeland, the best-kept secret in southern Iowa. Stephen Holly Copeland will take care of you. Tell the tow truck driver to take you to Copeland. Check out their new facility in Hedrick. Copeland Auto Body, skilled, honest, and fair. Take it from us. You'll love them. 653-2140. 653-2140.
KLEE, Tom FM, KTVO, and the Ottumwa Chamber are proud to bring you the 2012 Home and Garden Show at Bridgeview Center. The show will be March 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Tickets are available in advance at North and South Hy-Vee food stores, as well as Hy-Vee Drugstore in Ottumwa. $6 for adults, kids 7 to 12, $4, and kids 6 and under are free. Over 140 exhibitors, prizes, giveaways, free seminars, and more. Visit OttumwaHomeExpo.com for details.
Welcome back, everyone, to this special tribute, Remembering a Giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick. And we're joined now in the broadcast booth by John Sheldahl, the Chief Administrator of Great Prairie AEA. And John, as you were listening to our conversation with Kevin Krall, you heard us talk about the impact that Harold wanted to leave on education, the importance he knew of education, and for 37 years he served the AEA, and I know he had to leave a legacy there that very few will ever be able to challenge.
Right. In 1975, Harold became the first president of the Southern Prairie AEA, and actually he told me the story here just this year of the first time they had an organizational meeting. They transitioned from 99 county superintendents in Iowa to 16 AEAs, and he was involved at both the state level and with Southern Prairie in getting that whole concept of regional service, you know, to kids in need, and making special education more equitable was a big focus. He thought equity and fairness was really important, and he provided a lot of leadership there. And what he told me about was the first meeting that they had. It was he and eight other board members had been elected, sitting at the old Ottumwa Airport, which is where the AEA began in 1975, and all they had was a bill, you know, that was passed. So he was elected president. Provided the leadership to really kind of become sort of the founding father of the whole governance. The governance was all in the bill, but he was the person that really, you know, actualized all that and operationalized it all. And he hired the first chief, who was Don Roseberry, who was also from Albia. You know, prior to that service, he'd been on the school board in Albia. So I was just figured on the way over here, I think the guy sat through probably about 500 board meetings. So that there alone, I think, is for some of us that go, like Kevin and I, that go to board meetings, we think that's an awful lot of board meetings. But his leadership was just outstanding from the beginning.
He mentioned, I asked him one day, I said, what do you get paid for that, Harold? Just joking. He said, we get really good food.
Yeah, that's right. Because the board members come from everywhere from, you know, Keokuk to Sheraton. Now it's a broad area, so when we get them all together, we do feed them. But Harold would have been, you know, he always wanted to make sure that the food wasn't too good, because he wanted to make sure we stayed on budget as well. So he just provided great leadership, both from a moral imperative standpoint of what the right thing was to do, as well as how to be efficient and try to run things like a business. And, you know, I've really only gotten to know Harold well in the last year, and I just feel so fortunate to have been able to have gotten to know him, because just, you know, the things that you can learn from him in such a short period of time are just, you know, rare. There just aren't very many people out there that you can learn a lot of those lessons from. So I feel very fortunate about that.
We're talking with John Sheldahl, the chief administrator of the Great Prairie AEA. And John, you know, off the air, we talked, you know, when you are the president of an organization for 30 plus years, you've got the respect of the people that you're leading. But Harold, in his humbleness, didn't, you know, you mentioned this in the voting for the presidency, he wanted it to be a quiet vote where they wrote down the names. He didn't want anyone to feel that pressure of I don't think he wanted to hear his name mentioned, or,
that's,
you
probably
know,
right. That's probably right.
Yeah, and he's very humble. I've heard that this morning hearing some of the other speakers, and I think that's, you know, right on. Providing service just through example, and leadership through example, and just, you know, the impact and influence that he had was so apparent that everyone just respected that. But you would never ever hear, you know, him say anything that was, you know, self-aggrandizing in any way. I mean, he wanted people to, he thought, you know, someone might want someone else to be the president, so he didn't want them to feel intimidated or obligated to choose him. And of course, you know, he's been the only president, and I think he's the only person that's ever received a vote for president, probably, of the AEA board in those 37 years. So
it's really hard to imagine the impact that he's had. You know, you think it's really difficult to wrap around a mind how big an impact that 37 years
sure
has.
Well, even when you look at the Southern Prairie AEA combining with, was it Great?
Right. Great River.
Great River.
The Burlington office.
Right.
Yeah.
And he could have opposed that, thinking, well, I might lose my post here. But he was in favor of combining those two.
Yeah, Harold was not. He had a lot of courage. He understood the issues well. He knew what the right thing to do was. And you know, once he made up his mind about, you know, what morally was the correct course, you know, that was never in question. And if you think about 37 years, and right now there's 35,000 kids in our area that are being served. So, you know, you think about how many kids went through school districts in Southeast Iowa since 1975, all of us probably. And, you know, the influence that he had in special education, and then also with media and technology. I heard Kevin talking earlier about, you know, his understanding of technology and its potential. You know, that's rare for a person that was as old as Harold at the time, when he really wanted us to invest in those types of things. So he had a lot of vision, and just had a great influence on the organization and on all the local school districts in Southeast Iowa, not just Albia.
You hear the talk of the No Child Left Behind. Harold lived that. He wanted his life to be about making sure that no child was left behind.
Yep, and that's what appealed to him about the whole AEA concept, you know, that it was designed to make sure that there was equitable service to all school districts for kids that had special needs. That was the foundational reason for the whole system. And obviously that's just a perfect match for Harold. You know, he had a good heart for all people, and he cared about fairness and opportunity. You know, he had some opportunities that he took advantage of, and he wanted to see other people have those same opportunities.
Well, John, I know that you got to get going. We're getting ready for the funeral. It'll be held at 10:30 to give a reminder. It is at the high school, and you know, you may want to get there early. I think it's going to be a large crowd, and that you know, to have this many people that love you and care about you, and
You know, something I think we all would hope for.
Absolutely. And that, I was just listening to Carol or Kevin talk about talking to his teachers. I was a superintendent prior to being a chief administrator, too. And we talk about, you know, you have one day and you trade that time for whatever happens during that day. And over a lot of years, if you do the right things and stay committed to your morals and your values, you can accomplish some great things. And we're not going to accomplish what Harold accomplished. But, you know, what an example.
The Chief Administrator of Great Prairie AEA, John Sheldahl, thank you very much for joining us here on this special tribute to our friend Harold Mick.
My honor.
After a brief time out, we'll come back here and continue to bring you this special tribute, remembering a giant, a farewell to a community friend, the life of Harold Lee Mick.
Local merchants in our area, hometowns, and communities take pride in what they do. They're here for you. Be here for them. Shop and invest locally. It helps the local economy. Build a better future for us all.
Building for the future. All together, side by side. Hometown community spirit. Hometown community pride.
People's State Bank, member FDIC. Hometown community spirit. Hometown community pride.
Bluff Creek Archery, your outdoor store, is hosting an indoor 3D league March 5th through April 13th. The cost for the 3D shoot is just $60. For more information, call Bluff Creek Archery at 641-932-2422. 932-2422. Get out and enjoy this indoor 3D league. It's a great time to sharpen your skills for the spring season. And the best part of this 3D league is when you shoot, your name will go into a drawing for a new bow. That's Bluff Creek Archery in Albia, where you go for all your archery hunting needs.
Remembering a giant, a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick, this broadcast special, and joining me in the broadcast booth is my good friend, Joe Millage. Joe, listening to all these different individuals give different aspects and the touches that Harold had on this community, and yet there's just no way in an hour's time that you can ever put in a life, let alone the life of Harold Mick. You know, there was a shadow that he left on the community when he stood tall. That it's hard to put into words the impact he had on this community and the lives. And I know you specifically with the radio station, Harold loved this radio station.
Well, what a lot of people don't know and what Harold didn't want people to know was that he owned the radio station until 2007. And Harold, through some associates, Larry Meixel said, "Hey, I'm 77 at the time, and I need to see about I'm getting up there in age. I need to see about getting rid of some of the things that I have." Harold owned the radio station because he wanted Albia to have it, and there aren't a lot of smaller towns like Albia that still have fully functioning automated or satellite-fed radio stations like Albia does, and Harold wanted it to have that. In fact, he bought the AM 1370 from Jack Hallstrom several years ago and to keep it going, and then there happened to be an FM slot made available, which is somewhat unfamiliar these days, and he put up the necessary funds to get KLBA on the air in 1995, and believed in the vision for Albia to have an FM radio station.
Well, see that the KLBA,
yeah,
you know that really fed Albia. It was something the radio station and to Harold, and he knew this. And Harold and I over the years had many conversations about the radio station. He knew I as a kid I had a passion for radio, and I would go and sit over there with him. It'd be 8, 9 o'clock at night, and I'd be and he'd still be working, and I'd be
driving by and seeing him there and then stopping and visit with him. And he knew the impact that the local radio station could have on a community. And he loved, you know, and back in the day when we'd bring the broadcast and do the games, he'd always go out of his way to make mention of that. But when the station changed hands and you purchased the station, and I remember talking to him, and he wanted to make sure that this was a local station.
He did. In fact, I just got a call a couple of weeks ago, just sort of out of the blue, from another radio owner from Iowa who told me, I just want you to know I was trying to buy that at the same time you were, and I was offering substantially more money than you were able to offer. And Harold knew that I probably wasn't going to keep it in Albia, that it would probably move to another nearby city. And that was one of the things I told Harold. I said, my vision for the station, and I didn't really know him that well at the time, and that he was such a homer for Albia. My vision is that it needs to stay here. It needs to stay in Albia. It can work. It'll work. And it has worked. And I think that was the reason Harold gave up a lot of what he could have recouped, because he wanted it to stay here. In fact, you mentioned the call letters, KLBA. Well, if you look at that on a piece of paper, if you write out KLBA, what's it look like?
Looks like Albion.
Right. And that's the reason it was called KLBA years ago. And a lot of stations would do that. They'd kind of put their call letters, their moniker would look somewhat resemble their town in some cases if they could, if those call letters were available. Well, Harold found out after I'd purchased it that and I felt it needed different call letters, and he found out, and he met me and Jason right down here.
Yeah.
Right down here in the
and
middle.
He would meet you if he thought he had something to say.
He met me in the intersection of, what is this, Benton, and I'm pointing right at it, and he was not happy with me. And he said, that stands for Albia. And I said, I do know that, and I just felt like I needed to rebrand the station at the time. And but that, you know, that says,
but that's
a lot.
How much he wanted to make sure that this wasn't this wasn't losing the identity,
right,
of Albion. And
right.
I know when we started doing the Friday Night Lights, we started doing the Friday Night Lights for the under the new equipment, the new monitor. He'd come up here in the the studio.
Yeah, he would come up. In fact, he said when I bought it, he said, "Can I still come up into the press box?" I said, "Harold, absolutely." Absolutely. We gave him a KIIC jacket, and in fact, I would be running the controls on Friday Night Lights, and there's just always a lot going on. I'd turn around, and there he stood behind me. He would be in the control room. He'd love to come up here, and he told me, he said, "I love to watch you guys work. I love watching what all goes on up here on a Friday Night Lights program." And I will miss that.
I will too. He would come and sit behind Rudy and Dan and I behind us as we broadcast, and every time I'd mention his name, he would just cringe. I could see it, you know, it bothered him, but he wanted to make sure I mentioned Gloria's name,
mm-hmm,
and that she was listening. And one of the things that he had told me, and I really didn't understand it as much until I actually had to, my father moved into the Benton Place Apartments. And, you know, I always thought I was doing this for the kids. We'd broadcast, and it was the kids that we were celebrating. But he knew, and he told me this, is that the number of people who cannot make it out and be at those events, that this was their ability to stay connected to the kids and to the community. And he understood that. You know, that's where the joy came from, why he had such a passion for the radio station and for the broadcast, is because he understood that there are people who wouldn't get those opportunities.
Right, right. He felt that Albia was better served with local sports and local news, and again, that's why he wanted it to stay here, and why he was supportive of what we were doing. You can tell other people that you're fair. You can tell other people what characteristics you have, but when other people say it about you, it makes it more true. When several other people say it about you, it's true. And what I've heard today, and not really having much in-depth conversation about Harold with these other folks. You talk about him being fair and compassionate. I remember, you know, Harold and I would have several breakfasts out at the White Buffalo at 7 a.m. on the dot. I can tell you, he'd order the same thing every, you know, piece of toast and an egg every single time on a weekday morning at 7 o'clock out at the White Buffalo. And I remember all the stories. He would, of course, tell me all the different things he was doing business-wise and education-wise, but I remember how teary-eyed he'd get when there was a kid a few years ago that was less fortunate on the basketball team, didn't get any playing time, and the coach put him in. And that made Harold just jump for joy inside of his heart, and he was crying when he would tell me that story. You know, I remember the story when Harold told me that somebody came in, they couldn't afford their rent. And he paid their rent. And these are stories that people don't know.
No, they.
But one of the things I wanted to mention when I was going with that fairness, we do this thing now called graduation party crashers, and we have a lot of fun with it. And for those of you that may be listening that don't normally listen or know much about what we do, we go around in May and crash graduation parties, and Harold didn't like it that we were doing that, and I couldn't figure that out. And I visited with him one day. I said, Harold, what is it about graduation party crashers that you don't like? He said, because you can't do it for everyone. You're only able to do it for a few. And what I've heard here today was, you know, how fair.
Yeah, absolutely. And he loved the underdog. I got to tell you, I came into business here in town and started my becoming an agent, an insurance agent. And Harold invited me to come and visit with him a few times. And I was the underdog. I was a kid that, you know, didn't have anything, really wasn't connected. And he took the time out to believe in me, you know, to give me this insight, to spend time. Here is an icon that made you intimidated. He intimidated you because you knew. It wasn't because of something he'd done. It was because you knew how big of a figure this man was. And yet he would take time with, essentially, I was a nobody, you know. And he had that desire and that ability to really seek out and want to help the underdog. You see that with the AEA. You saw that with every person who applied for his scholarship, regardless of their academic achievements, they gave scholarships to. And he will be greatly missed. But I will tell you that it's unequivocal that the impact he's had on the lives of the future leaders, it's immeasurable. And I'm going to greatly miss him because he was a great friend.
One final impression I want to leave, and I know you're going to read the obituary, and then we're going to head over, but this just really struck me. I went out to the hospital when he was out there, and I've been at Benton Place when he's been there, and his family's been there. And what I find remarkable about the family is, you know, I'm sure that if you're well-to-do, and that if you have influence, you probably get knocked around by some people, and you know, some people might. But the conversations that this family had about other people, they were talking about how good they were talking about other people.
Yep.
When I went to the hospital, and the Mick family were talking about how good Albie and how good other people were, and not how, you know, the situation they were in, I just found that astounding and remarkable. The same thing happened in numerous occasions that they were. And Harold, just last week when I met with him, he just talked about, those are good people.
Yeah.
There's so many good people.
Well, we want to thank all that have come up here today and visited with us. Dave Paxton, editor and publisher of the Albion newspaper. Kevin Kness, the president of People's State Bank. Kevin Krall, the superintendent of Albion Schools. John Sheldahl, the chief administrator of Great Prairie AEA. And we want to thank you for being a part of this this special tribute to a dear friend. This community really has lost a giant. Remembering a giant, a farewell to community friend, Harold Lee Mick. Harold Lee Mick left our world, but not our hearts, on February 21st, 2012. He was 81 years old. The great love Harold had for others and they for him was evident in the many visitors and notes sent from families and friends to support Harold and each other in the final moments. Harold was born September 25, 1930, to the late Fred Lyman and Sylvia Olson Mick. Harold married Gloria Barnhill Mick September 23, 1950, in the Little Brown Church in Nashua, Iowa. He is survived by his wife, Gloria, sons Doyle and his wife, Tina, and Dave and his wife, Lois, and his brother, B.E., Pat, deceased. He was a proud grandfather to Jenny, Bishop, and Eric, Sarah and her husband, Jimmy Summers, Adam and his wife, Jill Mick, Lindsay Mick, Neil and his wife, Molly Mick, Kurt Mick, Nate and his wife, Carrie Fossenberg, and Carrie and her husband, Matt Case. Harold was a great-grandfather to Rebecca Summers, Jesse Bishop, Austin Summers, Jacob Bishop, Elijah Bishop, Henry Fossenberg, Caden Case, Mia Case, Katie Fossenberg, Fletcher Mick, and Brindley Mick. He is preceded in his death by his parents, brothers Wayne, Esther, and Raymond, Mary, and two brothers who died in infancy, and a daughter, Adriana Loeza, a foreign exchange student. Harold graduated from Bussey High School in 1948. He attended the University of Iowa for 2 years before entering the United States Marine Corps on December 10, 1951. Harold was proud to be a United States Marine. He served during the Korean War at Cherry Point, North Carolina. After serving the United States Marine Corps, Harold and Gloria returned home to Albion in 1955, where they built and operated Mick's Drive-In Restaurant in 1960. The Mick's Furniture and Appliance was established in Albion. During the 51 years at Mick's Furniture and Appliance, he was a Whirlpool dealer. Harold spent his career building relationships with the community and customers. Harold's passion and interest were helping others and giving back. Harold valued the friendships he made and was thankful he could help others. Harold was proud and supportive of his family. The community and education were important to Harold and Gloria. They both are supporters of the Albion Community Schools. Both helped encourage Albion graduates to pursue their education with the Harold and Gloria Mick Scholarships. This tradition will continue. Harold served as board president with the AEA agency since its origin in 1974. For 37 years, Harold was honored to be the only active president. Harold considered the AEA his second family. He was committed to improving education. He believed strongly in the quality and equity of education for all learners. Along with his wife, Gloria, Harold received much recognition for his service in the community. We'll have a moment of silence to remember a giant and a farewell to a community friend, Harold Lee Mick.
Truck, real dog, real country. This